Thank you, Grace. Good morning, Pacific Grace.
Good morning.
Wow, what a wonderful response. That's great. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. It's been a while since I joined you in worship, and so it's good to be back this morning. An elderly Christian sister told me some time ago that her 20-something grandson committed suicide in Hong Kong. As I was listening to her, I could really feel her intense pain, her intense sadness. She wanted to know why such a handsome young man with a bright future would take his own life. As I was listening to her, I recognized that she was looking for an answer. But honestly, I had no answer for her. I didn't know why. We don't always have an answer for misfortunes. A theologian once said, "It's foolish to pretend to know when we don't." We sometimes think that we can tell what good reason God might have for allowing evil, but often we can guess only. As we study this morning's scripture passage in Romans, may the Spirit of God strengthen our faith in Christ and help us believe without doubt that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul talks about present suffering and future glory. In verse 18, he says this, and we know, I guess I didn't have the other slide with me. But anyway, I'll tell you. In verse 18, he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." One day, every believer of Jesus Christ will be resurrected with a glorified body like the body Jesus Christ now has in heaven. Now, this is God's promise to us, and this is the hope we hold on to, especially when times are rough. The challenges, the difficulty in life might sway our faith, might even shatter our hope in Jesus Christ. And so Paul encourages us in verse 28. Now I got this verse. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Now this verse, according to the Bible Study Tools survey, is one of the top 25 most popular verses in the Bible. It's my favorite too. But the more I meditate on it, the more I'm amazed by its content. It's not written by someone whose life has been smooth sailing. It's written by someone whose life has been hard. By the time he wrote it, the Apostle Paul had gone through a lot of hardships in life, in his ministry. He gave a brief account of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked." Now, despite these torturous and life-threatening experiences, Paul is still able to write, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Now, how can he say this? If it were you or me, would we be able to say it? We might. But would we be able to really believe in it? When I was younger, I was sometimes surprised, or I felt sometimes uneasy to hear people quote this verse, particularly when they quoted it in the midst of some sort of unpleasant situation in their life. I thought to myself, yeah, right. I guess, you know, it's human nature to doubt. As we are fired from the job, as we are passed over for promotion, as we are struggling with abuse at work or at home, or as we are missing a couple of credits for graduation, or as a family member is struggling with cancer, as we find ourselves in a very difficult, in a terrible situation, a Christian brother or sister will remind us, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. At that instant, we can't help wondering, really? In the midst of this miserable situation, God is working for my good? You may have heard someone say many times before, oh, it's a blessing in disguise. This is God's will to make light of a heartbreaking situation or a disastrous situation. When you are the victim, you may find it difficult to accept such saying because it hardly gives you any comfort. We are familiar with Joseph's story in the Bible. His brothers hated him because their father, Jacob, loved him more than anybody else. And Jacob doted on Joseph. And Joseph didn't help matters when he showed off his coat of many colors, when he bragged about his two strange dreams in which his parents, his brothers, bowed down before him to kind of worship him. And his brothers hated him to the extent that they almost killed him, right? But in the end, they decided not to. They sold him as a slave to the Midianites. And in turn, the Midianites sold Joseph to the Egyptians. There in Egypt, Joseph was falsely accused of sexual misconduct against his master's wife. And as a consequence, he was thrown in prison. Now, being young and far away from home, Joseph was most likely terrified and bewildered. Why is all this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Now, despite his plight, his misfortune, Joseph stayed true to God. However, I wonder how he would feel if you were to tell him, hey, Joe, it's all right. You know, it's a blessing in disguise. This is God's will. And remember, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. I wonder if this would really give Joseph any comfort. Now, when we encounter misfortunes, we tend to wonder about the good in it. And the idea of it being a blessing in disguise hardly ever registers on our mind, let alone it being of any comfort to us. And yet, when we calm down, when we settle down, we'll begin to search for a deeper meaning for everything that has happened. We say to ourselves, you know, there must be something good. There must be something good that comes out of everything that happened. Because if there is nothing good, then things are indeed meaningless. Now, after some searching, we might point to something or some situation and say, ah, if I hadn't lost a job, I wouldn't have chosen a different career. Or, ah, if he hadn't come close to death, he wouldn't have accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, look at Joseph again. A series of misfortunes eventually led him to a meeting with Pharaoh, who had two strange dreams too. And no Egyptian magician or wise man was able to interpret them. Joseph got help from God to explain what the two dreams really meant. As a result, he was put in charge of the entire Egypt under Pharaoh. Now, this in turn led to his reunion with his father and the rest of the family. Now, when his brothers begged him for mercy after their father Jacob's death, Joseph said to them, this is what he said to them. He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? And you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." Now, all along, God had been in control. Although he suffered a great deal, Joseph ended up saving his father, his brothers, and their families from a very severe famine in Canaan. And he helped them to settle in Goshen, the best place of Egypt. Now, I have to admit that it's often hard to see the good in misfortunes. And what good can come from broken relationships? Just a few days ago, when I was preparing this message, a good friend of mine, told me that his daughter is getting a divorce merely 2 years after she got married. The whole family is shocked, very sad. Now, what good could there be when 22 mostly young people lost their lives in a suicide bombing after Ariana Grande's concert in Manchester, England, a couple of months ago? What good can come from there? And what good can come from the current wildfires in the interior? Now, in such circumstances, when someone quotes Romans 8:28 for us, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When we hear that quote, you know, we want to clench our teeth and say, "Yeah, right. God is working for my good in the midst of this miserable situation." And yet, Romans 8:28 is more than a fanciful quote. It is God's truth. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write it, not in spite of, but because of hardships in life. When we can't understand it, or when we haven't experienced it, it doesn't negate the fact that Romans 8:28 is God's truth. You know, I want to draw your attention to two words in this verse. And the two words are all things. And that means not only things that are pleasant, but also unpleasant. Not only situations that are good, but also bad. Now, Paul was able to say all things with confidence because he recognized that God is sovereign. He recognized that God is in full control of all circumstances, and he himself had experienced it. Romans 8:28 is found in a chapter that is dealing with the process of salvation. In the previous section, Paul talks about future glory, as I mentioned before. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. One day, Jesus Christ will return. When he does, he will take you, and take me to be with him. One day, you know, Jesus Christ will come. Now, between now and then, we may have sufferings we don't understand. But we can rest assured that God is in control, and that everything will work together in the end, and that God will finish his perfect plan of salvation, and we will rest in his bosom forever, for all eternity. You know, as we look at this perfect plan of redemption that God has for us, this should be our hope. This should be our encouragement. You know, it is like the example of the embroidery. Now, when we, you know, on the underside, the embroidery, there are strings going every which way. But on the top side, on the top, you know, a beautiful picture is emerging. It is emerging because somebody knows what he is doing. You know, God sees the top, and we see the bottom. But everything that happens flows through the hands of the sovereign and almighty God. And he is weaving everything into a beautiful tapestry of your life, my life, and the history of humanity. We don't always understand it, but for sure, it is happening. And we don't always know why bad things happen to us, but we do know with certainty that nothing will ever happen to us without God's knowledge. And nothing will ever happen to us without his permission. I take Job in the Old Testament as an example. Before Satan could do him harm, Satan needed to come before God to get permission. You know, God is sovereign. He is in control of all circumstances. He is also all-knowing. He doesn't see circumstances the way we see them. For example, when we are driving on the highway, we can see only what is in front of us. We cannot see things that are outside the scope of our vision. But God is different. God is like a helicopter pilot hovering high above the highway. He can see far, far ahead and all around. You know, brothers and sisters, let us look at another example. You know, consider Jesus' disciples. When Jesus was dying on the cross, his disciples didn't expect that anything good would come out of it. But God did. Because Jesus' crucifixion was part and parcel of his wonderful plan of redemption for humanity. And when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day, God showed the whole world that he has power to defeat sin. He has power to overcome death. And he has that power to give me that eternal life. A new life in Christ, a new beginning in Christ, and a new hope in Christ. You know, God acted against evil for the good of humanity. And when we don't see it, it's hard to accept. But no God, no good, it would be even harder to accept. I say this again. No God, no good, it would be even harder to accept. Now, Pacific Grace, what we experience here on earth is part of the struggle of life in a sin-filled world. And what is the good in the struggle? Well, let me tell you a butterfly story. Now, a little boy saw a butterfly struggling so hard to get out of its chrysalis. It looked like it couldn't break free. It looked like it was making no progress. And the boy was so concerned that he used a pair of scissors to snip the chrysalis to make the hole bigger. Instantly, the butterfly emerged, got out of the chrysalis. And the little boy was surprised to see the butterfly's body was swollen, and its wings were very small and shriveled. You know, the little boy was expecting the butterfly to fly, but it never happened. And later, the little boy learned that the butterfly was supposed to struggle. In fact, the butterfly struggled to push its way through the chrysalis, helps to push the fluid in its body into its wings, to make the wings strong so that it can fly. Without the struggle, the butterfly would never ever fly. And so it is also in Christian life. Without struggles, without hardships, our faith in Christ will not be as strong. Without struggle, without hardships, our walk with the Lord will not be as steady. Our understanding of Scripture will not be as solid. And above all, our new life in Christ will not be as abundant. Nobody wants hardships. Nobody wants misfortunes. But believe it or not, with hardships and misfortunes in life, our life in Christ can be abundant, can be colorful, can be so rich. You know, James, Jesus' brother, once said this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything." A pastor once said, "Our hearts may be broken 1,000 times in this life, or our bodies racked with pain. But these things are part of the refiner's fire, the crucible of the kingdom of God. Just as a doctor must sometimes hurt us in order to help us, get better, so God is always working for us to get us, you know, better, to get us stronger in our walk with the Lord." Now, in the past week, could you show that, please? Yeah. In the past week, I had the privilege of reading, you remember this? I hope you guys remember this. Do you remember this? Yeah, you know, this is your 30th anniversary publication, right? Oh, by the way, who's got a part in this? Editing it, doing it, anybody? No? Okay, anyway, I had, now, if you haven't read it at all, it's in your library. Go read it, all right? Yeah, it's very good. I have the privilege of reading many beautiful, uplifting testimonies. Brothers and sisters, experiences in life, how they experience God's help, how they really experience God's grace, and how they receive help from the whole body of Christ here at Pacific Grace. These stories really touch me. They are very touching. And these stories truly testify to this truth of Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, while we may not, in the midst of misery, like to hear such a statement, yet it's true. And this is surely where our comfort lies. And surely this is how we can have hope in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul states clearly that this assurance is for those who love God and for those who have been called according to God's purpose. I want to ask you three simple questions. And you can answer them truthfully before God. The first one is, who is Jesus Christ to you? You know, as I mentioned in my previous messages, you know, many of you were born into this church. You know, you were brought up in this church. You were taught Sunday school in this church. So who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he your Lord and Savior? Or is he somebody you talk to only when you need help? Only when you are in trouble, who is Jesus Christ to you? And the second question is, does your daily life show that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? What are you doing to nurture that relationship, to grow in Christ? If you don't have that relationship, why not? What is missing in your relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, your answers to these three simple questions can tell you if Romans 8:28 indeed gives you security and assurance in all circumstances, pleasant or unpleasant, good or bad. God has never promised every believer of Jesus Christ that their life will be smooth sailing after they become Christian. You know, God has never promised that our life will be free of trouble, that nothing bad will happen to any of us. But God has promised us. He has promised us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And he has promised us that he'll be our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And this morning, God is telling you, telling me, in all things, I work for the good of those who love me. I work for the good of those who have been called according to my purpose. Now, those who love the Lord can live with utter security and complete assurance that they belong to their faithful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, in life and in death, and in eternity. And nothing is able to separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, as I close, I invite all of you to read together with me verses 31 and 32. I know, you know, in English services, you know, the speaker seldom invites the congregation to read together, right? It's practice all the time in the Chinese congregation. But anyway, let's do it in the English service. Verses 31, 32. Read it, think about it, really meditate on what God is telling you through the Apostle Paul this morning. All right? Let us read it slowly. Think about it, please. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You believe in that? You believe in that? Or you believe in that only when you are in trouble? Now, brothers and sisters, God is good. All the time, God is good. So let us think about what he has spoken to us through Romans 8, through the message this morning. So before I lead you in prayer, let's have a moment of silent prayer. Pray to God. You know, there may be a word, a phrase, a sentence, a picture in today's message that really touches you. So maybe you can respond to God now and ask him to help you to grow in Christ despite whatever circumstance you are in. Our Father in heaven, as we come together as your people, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. We thank you for your wonderful love manifested to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you that you send your one and only Son, Christ Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross. And we praise you and thank you because you raised him from the dead on the third day. You tell us, you have